Sunnah inspired bayan, we learn to live, to love, forgive, and quietly give. Sunnah inspired bayan.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Musaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi min shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Rasulullah wa ala alik wa sahabiki ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Nabiyallah wa ala alik wa sahabiki ya Nurallah. I'm going to begin by giving you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The final messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that whoever sends salat upon me on Friday, it shall be a means for intercession for him with me on the Day of Judgment. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madhi Channel, we are currently in the very blessed days of Zulhajj. You've all heard of the story in which Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam saw a dream regarding the sacrifice of his son. The next day was the 8th of Zulhajj. And on that day, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he spent that day in contemplation, considering whether it was an actual revelation from Allah azza wa jalla, whether it was a command from Allah azza wa jalla or not. And so this day, the 8th, is known as Yawm al-Tarawiyyah, the day of contemplation. On the 9th, he came to the realization that it wasn't a dream. He realized that his dream was actually a revelation, and that this was a command from Allah. And this is known as the name of Yawm al-Arfa, the day of recognition. And on the 10th, he, Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam, placed a knife on the neck of his beloved son, Sayyidina Ismail al-Islam, and he then set an eternal example of obedience and submission, what it means to love Allah, the sacrifice and the selflessness in place, and Allah Azza wa Jalla, in place of Sayyidina Ismail al-Islam, a ram was brought from paradise, and Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam sacrificed this, and this was known as the Yawm al-Nar, the day of sacrifice. The next 3 days, 11, 12 and 13, they are known as the days of Tashriq. My dear Islam brothers, whenever Advent has been passed down from generation to generation, you know, even if we talk about the time of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the events that happened then, when they're passed down from generation to generation to generation, they're not passed down so that it's just a good story to tell you that this is what happened. It's not passed down so that it becomes a history book where it just, you know, puts down the facts in a book. It's passed down so we can learn a lesson from this. And we see from the events that took place in these days that Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam, the sacrifice that he was willing to make, and it was the ultimate sacrifice. You can say it's the ultimate sacrifice. Allah Azza wa Jalla could have said to him, sacrifice yourself. Allah Azza wa Jalla could have said to him, sacrifice yourself. But if you were to ask any parent, I would safely say 99% of the parents, they would say that they would really be willing to sacrifice their own lives before they sacrifice the lives of their children. The children, your children, are more loved to you than your own life. And so you could say that the ultimate sacrifice was requested of him. And what did he do? He submitted to it. He was willing to submit to it. And the fact that he was willing to submit to it, his actions from then until the Day of Judgment, from now until the Day of Judgment, every year on this day, we will also, those that it is wajib upon them, we will also sacrifice an animal. And so that love, that obedience, that sacrifice that he was willing to make, Allah Azza wa Jalla loved it so much that every day, every year, we sacrifice an animal. Allah Azza wa Jalla loved his actions so much that you cannot perform the Hajj, which is further upon us, without performing the actions that he performed. So it's, you know, the love and the compassion and the sacrifice that he was willing to make. But then the question comes that Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam was willing to sacrifice his only son. We're not willing to sacrifice our warm quilts at the time of Fajr. We're not willing to get out of bed and come to the masjid at the time of Fajr. We're not even willing to get out of bed and go to our own washrooms and perform wuzu and read namaz in our own house at the time of Fajr. What sacrifices are we making? We can't even make the sacrifice of reading our salah 5 times a day. You know, many, many years ago, a scholar from America, I met him. And on the day of Eid, he was invited to the masjid to give a speech. Then after the speech, he sat facing the Qibla. And the chairman of the masjid got stood up and he made some announcements. Now, he made an announcement and the scholar said to me, the announcement that he made, he should not have made. And I should have stopped him, but I was too, like, taken up with the commotion of the thing. The chairman of the mosque made an announcement. He said that, look, before you read Salatul Eid, and I'm not going to ask you to do this, Before you read Salatul Eid, any of you that have not performed Salatul Fajr, please perform it now. This is what he said. I'm not going to ask you to do this. Now the scholar said to me, I should have stopped him. I should have stopped him. The reason being is that one, if someone commits a sin, that's one thing, but exposing someone's sin is also a sin. He said, but I didn't do this. I made the mistake. He said, but I sat facing the Qibla. I sat facing the Qibla. And I thought to myself, will anybody get up? Will anybody actually stand up? And I didn't want to turn around. I didn't want to have a look. He said, but eventually the nafs got the better of me. And I turned around. And he said, when I turned around, 3/4, 75% approximately, of the people that were in the masjid, they were standing up and performing the Salatul Fajr. They could not get up at Fajr. On this day, we're remembering the sacrifices that were made. On this day, we're celebrating. Think about it. Allah Azza wa Jal made His submission, His sacrifice, a day of Eid for us, a day of celebration for us, a day to remind us of what we should be doing and what we should not be doing. But unfortunately, what happens even on the day of Eid? Where's our Fajr gone? At Zohar time, we'll be busy eating all that food, the boti, the roast and the chicken and the meat and all them, we'll be eating them. At Asr, we'll be chilling with our friends. At Maghrib, we'll be out on the roads. And Isha, we'll be eating again and we're too tired to read our namaz and we're going to go to sleep again. Is this how Muslims should be celebrating the Eid? I'm not saying don't eat, I'm not saying don't enjoy. But is this how we should be celebrating our Eid? Is this how we should remember the sacrifices that were made by Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam? The sacrifices that were made not only by Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam, but when you remember his sacrifices, you also remember the sacrifices of all of the people of the past. The sacrifices that the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were willing to make and made. The sacrifices that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made. The sacrifice that our pious predecessors made. And it's because of their sacrifices you are here today. The sacrifices of our pious predecessors, it is because of them you are here today. They did the job in propagating the Islam. They didn't just sit at home. They went out and met our ancestors. And I've said this many, many times before, all of you that are sitting here today, except for the Sayyids and maybe a few individuals, if we go back in our ancestors, we will find people who are non-Muslims. And somebody invited our ancestors to Islam. Somebody left their home and invited our ancestors to Islam. And it's because of them that you are sat here today. They made their sacrifices. Yes, it's not farz upon us to go out and give Niki Kidawat. It's not farz upon us to go out and call people to Islam. But it's farz upon us to read our namaz 5 times a day. And nobody here, and nobody on Madani channel will send a message and say, brother, I didn't know it's farz upon us. Even the small children that are here today, they will know that it's farz upon us to read our namaz 5 times a day. So what's going wrong? What excuses have we got for not reading our namaz? Are we too busy? You're not too busy. That's an excuse. Have we got things to do? Yeah, we've all got things to do. It's an excuse. And whatever thing you come up with, it'll be an excuse. Because you've not prioritized your namaz. You've not prioritized your deen. Your deen's become a hobby. A hobby is something when you do when you've got time. I'll go to the gym when I've got time. I'll play football when I've got time. But unfortunately with us, I'll read my namaz when I've got time. I'll read the Quran when I've got time. Even to the extent, I'll fast in the month of Ramadan when I've got time. People during the month of Ramadan, they look at the worksheet and say, oh, on that day I'm doing overtime. On that day I'm doing extra hours, so I'm not going to fast on that day. On that day I've got my exam, so I'm not going to fast on that day. On that day I've got an important interview, an appointment, I'm not going to fast on that day. What has become of us? What has become of the Muslims that we can't make these sacrifices? And this isn't a sacrifice in a sense, it's obligatory upon you. When I talk about sacrifice, I'm talking about sacrificing your way, your time, your money. Spending in the way of Allah, traveling in the way of Allah. All of these things you can class as sacrifices. We can't even make the sacrifices of reading our salah. And then we wonder why the Muslims are in the state that they're in. We wonder why we're in this state. It is obligatory upon us to read our namaz. Why? What is our excuse? If you want to remember, if you want to celebrate what the events that have taken place today, then celebrate in a way that pleases your Creator. Don't celebrate in a way that takes you further away from your Creator. At least on this day, try from today, make a habit of reading your salah 5 times a day. All of you, 95% of the people that they hear, there may be a few individuals that as soon as Eid Namaz finishes, they will go back to work. The majority of you today will have taken a day off. Even on this day, can we not read our Namaz 5 times a day? On this day, it is the blessed day of Eid as well. And even on these days, we'll miss our salah. Only on these days, we do not remember our obligations to our Creator. Please think about this. Time is short. Another tradition that we have, which is a very good tradition, that's right after Salatul Eid, I will be doing this myself, we go to the graveyard. We go to the graveyard, we pray Fatiha for those that have passed away. But when you go to the graveyard, don't just stand at your grave, or the grave of your loved ones, I mean. Look at the other graves as well. Look at the ages on them graves. Yes, you'll see the 80-year-olds, the 90-year-olds, the 75-year-olds, but we'll also say the 20-year-olds, the 25-year-olds. Nobody here can say that my death is a long way away. Nobody can say this. Nobody here, no matter how educated you are, no matter how qualified you are, no matter how influential you are, nobody here can give me a certificate and say to me, brother, you will last this day. Nobody can even give me a certificate and say you will last until you get to your car out of this namaz. Nobody can guarantee this. Nobody can guarantee it for me and nobody can guarantee it for you. You will all know people that were with you last Eid. They're not with you now. They're not with you now. This may be your last Eid. This may be my last Eid. There is no guarantees. And during this time that we have, we continue to disobey our Creator. We continue to go further away from our Creator. I remember reading a book once and it said that if someone was standing at the grave, and he said, if this person could get out of the grave now for 5 minutes, what would he do? If he could get out of the grave for 5 minutes, what would he do? Would he get out and hire a fast car that he's never had a chance to drive all his life? A sports car? Would he get out and book a holiday? Would he get out and go chilling with his mates? What would he do in the 5 minutes that he had? You know what he would do. Similarly, I read another book and it said in this person that if you were in your deathbed, imagine yourself lying in your hospital bed, your family's gathered around you, they're silently reciting the kalma. When you hear people reciting the kalma, you know that my time is getting close. You can hear people reciting Surah Yasin. You know that your time is getting close. You can see all the people around you. You can see the tears coming in your eyes. Ask yourself, at that moment in your life, what regrets will you have? What regrets will you have at that moment in your life? Whatever regrets you will have, then do them now. And the regrets won't be doing what most of us will be doing today. The regrets will be what we should be doing today. Remembering our Creator, praying to Allah, worshipping Allah, reading the Quran, making a habit of our lives. But unfortunately, we've gone so far away from this. Yes, we're here and we're celebrating. And like the brother said, four Eid Jamaats. When will that day come that we have four Fajr Jamaats? When will that day come that we have four Zuhr, four Asr, four Maghrib, four Isha Jamaats? It's not impossible. If it was impossible, then why would we have four Eid Jamaats? So there are people, and as we're talking, people are coming into the masjid. And every minute that I'm talking, the masjid is getting more and more full. Why is this not happening at every other namaz? One other thing I want to leave you with, that on the day of Eid, like I said, a lot of people enjoy themselves. Again, no problem. We go out and we enjoy ourselves, no problem. One thing you all need to remember, every single person that is here today, you are all effectively ambassadors of Islam. You're all ambassadors of Islam, meaning you all represent Islam. Many, many years ago, an event took place in my local masjid. I'm from Bury, not very far from here, where the police came in on the day of Eid. And they didn't come in because there was a commotion. They didn't come in because astaghfirullah, there was any problems in the masjid. They came in and they asked the imam that could they have a few minutes. And the police officer, he said that, look, I'm giving you all a warning. I'm informing you of something. He says, today, all of the police force in Greater Manchester, they're on overtime. We'll have extra people out on the roads, extra people in the cars today on the day of Eid. So make sure you don't do anything stupid. I was so embarrassed. I was so embarrassed. Now the police are on overtime because of us? That they're on overtime because of our actions? Isn't that embarrassing to us? What should really be happening, they sure should come in and say, look what, you've got a day off today, we're going to have a day off today. But unfortunately, that's not the case. So the police are out on force, the police are on extra activities because of the things that we are doing. Remember this, if we commit any crime in this country, if we commit any crime in this country, and I'm saying crime now, not sin, crime in this country, then it's not Ali did this, it's not Khalid did this, it's not Irfan Bhai did this, it's a Muslim did this. Every one of you represents the Deen of Islam. If you look at the history of Islam, people didn't come to Islam, but the majority of the people that came to Islam didn't come through reading the Quran. Some did. The majority of people didn't come to Islam to reading the seerah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some did. The majority did not come by comparing the Quran to other books or comparing the Quran to science. Some did. The majority of the people that come to Islam by looking at you, by looking at the person in front of them. Every one of you represents Islam. Don't do anything. Don't do anything that diminishes the image of Islam. People should look at you and say, look, whatever this person is, I want to be this person. But unfortunately, what it is now, whatever they look at us, they say, I don't want to be like that. Whatever this person is, I don't want to be this person. I don't want to be like this person. I don't want to have anything to do with this person. Because of our character that has shone through. Your character is what shines through. Your character is what people see. So I ask you all to please represent your deen of Islam. And I ask you as well on this day where we remember the sacrifice of Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam, on this day where next month, in the month of Muharram, we'll remember the sacrifices that were made by the grandson of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And at the same time, when you read the seerah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you remember the sacrifices that he made, the sacrifices that the companions made, the sacrifices that the companions were also willing to make. And they said it and they did it. When the companions said, may our lives be sacrificed for you, they didn't just say it, they meant it and they did it. They were willing to sacrifice everything. And now the state of the ummah is such that we can't sacrifice a warm bed. Now the state of the ummah is that we can't come to the masjid on a daily day. Why? Because it's too cold. Why? Because it's raining. It's as if it's acid rain that we can't go out in the rain because, oh, but when it goes to work, we can go out. When it goes to the airport, we're going to get there at 5 o'clock in the morning, we can get there. When we've got a flight, when we've got a coach, when we've got a train to catch, we can leave the house. When we've got work together at 6 o'clock in the morning, we can leave the house. When it comes to going to the masjid for Fajr, we can't do it. And then we wonder why the Muslims are suffering all around the world. Because we're not willing to make any sacrifices. We find it so hard to perform good deeds. One final thing I want to leave you with. Someone once said to me, he said that when you commit a sin and you ask someone, why do you do it? He said they do it because they enjoy it. Meaning they enjoy drinking, they enjoy smoking, they enjoy gambling, they enjoy committing adultery. Whatever the sin is, they get some pleasure out of it. That's why they commit the sin. Sin involves pleasure. And that's why people do it. Remember this. When you commit a sin, whatever the sin is, that pleasure is there for a short period of time. That pleasure is there for a short period of time. But that sin is with you forever. Never commit a sin for the sake of pleasure. Because that pleasure will disappear and that sin will last forever. In the same way, getting up at Fajr, leaving your warm bed, going performing wuzu, coming to the masjid, the heating's not working. Yeah, we won't even go to the masjid now because if the heater doesn't work, the heating's not working. It's cold, it's freezing, it's raining. You're shivering, you're feeling a bit cold. That pain that you feel for that short period of time, how long does it last? A few hours? Never leave a good deed for the sake of hardship. That hardship will disappear, the good deed will stay with you forever. Remember this. Never commit a sin for the sake of pleasure. The pleasure will disappear, the sin will stay. Never leave a good deed for the sake of hardship. The hardship will disappear, the good deed will stay. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that on this day of Eid, remember the sacrifices that were made by Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam. Not only by him, but all of our pious predecessors, the companions, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and try ourselves to make some of these sacrifices. When I say the five daily prayers, they're not sacrifices. They're not any sacrifices. We think it's a sacrifice. It's not a sacrifice. It's a duty upon us. We should all, as a minimum, be reading our namaz 5 times a day. Then we'll talk about the sacrifices. Then we'll talk about traveling in the way of Allah. Then we'll talk about spending money in the way of Allah. Then we'll talk about spending time in the way of Allah. These are the sacrifices that we need to be making. Reading our 5 daily prayers is a sacrifice? Shame on us. Shame on us if we think the 5 daily prayers are a sacrifice. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that Allah give me and you the ability to think about what I've said, act upon what I've said, and pass this message on to others as well. Ameen bi jahi nabiyil ameen.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Sunnah inspired bayan. Through the sunnah inspired bayan, we learn to live.